In this episode of the Smart Community Podcast, I had a brilliant conversation with Andrew Mears, the founder and CEO of Switched In, a software and IoT company that provides a solution for managing distributed energy resources to enable high penetration of renewable energy. Andrew tells us about his background as an electrical engineer and working on renewable projects in developing countries, and how that led to founding his business, Switched In. We discuss how the approach to energy services is different in developing countries, and the innovation there has been around renewables and energy service business models. Andrew then tells us what a prosumer is and why the maturity of the energy market in Australia isn't quite set up for prosumers yet. We talk about Switched In and some of the projects they've been working on, plus why Australia is such a great place in the world to be for a product like Switched In. Andrew explains the difference between a microgrid, a smart grid, and a virtual power plant as well. We also then talk about emerging trends in distributed energy services. We finish our chat discussing some of Andrew's favourite smart community resources. As always, we hope you enjoy listening to this episode as much as we enjoyed making it.
Welcome to the smart community, smart regions, smart towns, and smart cities. It's where we live, work, and play. With smart communities, the future starts today. Big data, smart mobility, emerging trends galore. The Smart Community Podcast is what you're looking for.
Hello, Andrew. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm really great. Thanks.
That's so great to hear. And I'm excited to have you on the podcast. And I'm excited to really dive in deep to your area of expertise. But let's first start with what's your background and tell us what you're passionate about.
Wow. Well, I'm passionate about renewable energy. Absolutely. And, responsible and sustainable development. My background, well, I'm an electrical engineer. But I've done lots of things along since becoming an electrical engineer. I've done lots of things, including working on developing renewable energy projects and technologies. But also, I had a little stint in research and development, doing masters and PhDs and that sort of stuff. So I was quite academic for a while, but then spent a lot of time working in developing countries around enabling clean energy development, and that included some fantastic jobs. I worked for different NGOs in Africa and Asia Pacific, and I worked for the World Bank on a bunch of renewable energy projects in the Pacific region. And for a while, I was the UN's chief advisor on renewables for Southern Africa, and then headed up climate change for the UN in Southeast Asia. I was based in Cambodia, looking after the Mekong subregion. So,
wow.
So, yeah, lots of interesting stuff. So as an electrical engineer, and then sort of branching out into all these different projects, but also policy and strategy, and it's been a great journey. And my niche was always around sort of participation and energy access. And I helped in particular with promoting sort of enterprise development in this area, so enabling clean energy services. And I helped lots of companies get started. And then in 2014, 2015, I started Switched In, which was sort of my recent endeavor. And so I'm the sole founder and CEO of Switched In. And Switched In is basically a software company or Internet of Things company, and we provide a solution for managing distributed energy resources to enable a high penetration of renewable energy.
Mm. Well, that's really exciting, and your background is obviously just huge, and I'm keen to kind of talk about that a little bit more. But also, you are from Newcastle, so we put that out front because I always talk to interesting people from Newcastle. No pressure to be interesting. I'm sure you will be anyway. But this is a bit off script, but I'm keen to hear how your approach in developing countries is, I guess, different to developed countries in access to renewables. I asked this question because I did a little bit of work when I was very young in Nepal. And, you know, there was lots of solar, individual micro-solar grids happening for, you know, smaller communities in remote mountainous Nepal, essentially. And I know there's, you've just got to think very differently to what you would, you think about in, you know, somewhere like Australia.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And the experience that led me to Switched In actually sort of turns a lot of the, I guess, people's expectations on their head, in that, you know, I've been working in developing countries for a long time, and renewable energy was the least cost option for energy services for a long time. You know, 30 years, renewable energy has been the least cost option compared to the alternative, which was grid extension. And, you know, in many countries where, you know, there just isn't the sort of the infrastructure or the institutional arrangements that enable cost-effective grid extension, providing a solar and batteries to a medical center or to a school or to a home was really the least cost option. So as a consequence, in those sorts of settings, we've seen a lot of innovation around energy service business models. So, you know, fee-for-service provision of standalone power systems is something which was pioneered in developing countries. And here we're seeing it manifest in our markets only recently in the context of power purchase agreements and other types of business models arrangements. So, yeah, so Switched In was actually born out of that similar experience. You know, my experience delivering remote energy services in Botswana led me to realize that a key enabler was having access to data and control for these distributed services. And coming back to Australia and just seeing, and in Botswana, what that meant was that we could provide sort of cost-effective technical support for, you know, remote villages to support them in terms of these solar home systems. You know, we didn't need to put expensive trained technicians at the village level. We could centralize them more cost-effectively and so provide a value add service. You know, so that was a great example of how data and control enabled a new type of business model, a new service delivery model. And then coming back to Australia and just seeing, you know, this high penetration of renewable energy and educated consumers who were basically still price takers. You know, really, there'd been lots of innovation at the technology level, but no innovation at the business model level. And a key barrier to that was the fact that it was such a fragmented market. There was very difficult to get data and to be able to coordinate and orchestrate lots of small systems to work together. And so that was the problem that we set out to solve. And that grew directly on the back of experience in that Botswana project.
Mm, so interesting. Thanks for sharing that. I want to go into more of, you know, microgrids and virtual power plants in a second, but let's go a bit higher level now since we are on the Smart Community podcast. If you can just tell us what a smart community means to you.
Well, a smart community for me means that we have, I guess, flexible options for how people access services, and that these options support customer choice and, in particular, support more sustainable choices around how we consume and use resources. So as an energy, you know, a good example is that we have an electricity system that supports decentralized energy services. So using distributed resources, so rooftop solar, batteries, but customers are empowered to enact into the electricity system, not just as consumers, but as proper market participants, as more than just prosumers, as really full participants.
Mm-hmm. And the term prosumer, I assume some of my audience don't know what that means. So can you just give a little bit of an explanation of what a prosumer is?
Yeah, well, a prosumer is a producer and consumer. And I guess, you know, we've had people who, you know, historically people have consumed electricity, but with the decreasing cost of solar energy technologies in particular, all of a sudden people can now produce electricity. And if they have excess electricity that they haven't consumed themselves, then they can export that back to the electricity system. So they're both producing and consuming. And it's a great term, but I think it doesn't quite describe, however, and we might imagine a very sort of balanced and collaborative situation. However, the maturity of our energy market and our energy system isn't such really that there is true participation. So, for example, one would think if you're a producer, then you know, you've got a commodity, you want to sell it into a market, then you should be able to have some, I guess, choice about, you know, what price you sell it for and where you can buy your energy. And the current system is not really flexible. It doesn't really enable the full choice that we would hope to see that this type of technology can enable.
So interesting. No, thanks for sharing that. And let's talk a little bit about what you do and at Switched In. And first of all, give us a little bit of it. And I know you've already talked about this quite a lot in your intro, but tell us from a everyday kind of standpoint what it means or what your day looks like at Switched In. And then maybe we'll go into a little bit more detail around, you know, microgrids and those other things.
Well, what my day looks like? Well, I spend a lot of time talking to our customers and our partners. So for us, our partners are, you know, involved in delivering energy services. So in particular, renewable energy systems. So they might be installers of solar or battery systems. They might be electricity retailers that are looking to, you know, provide electricity services that make most value of these types of renewable energy services, renewable energy technologies. They might be the distribution networks, you know, the operators of the poles and wires that run around our street. They're also concerned with how to manage and support the growth of these types of technologies. And so I spend a lot of time talking to those different parties. And then, of course, managing the team. So we have an amazing team here in Newcastle. Primarily, they're software engineers, but typically they're renewable energy buffs, electrical engineers who have developed software skills and are drawn to sort of make a contribution in this space. So that's typically my day.
Yeah, and we were talking about before, just a bit of a founder day is kind of 24 hours, 7 days a week as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so I'm sole founder. If any of the listeners intend on becoming a sole founder, come and have a talk with me and I'll talk you out of it. It's a very challenging job being a sole founder. But look, I've been so lucky. We've just got an amazing team. And together, you know, I think we're really building something which is world class, and we're quite differentiated in the space. Australia is about the best place in the world to be building a product like this. It's pretty well the test market for the world for distributed energy services. You know, we've got a high penetration of solar and a very educated consumer, and our electricity is not cheap. And we've got whilst we don't have a proactively positive policy environment, it certainly is still enabling. And as a consequence, really, when it comes to batteries or solar or microgrids or virtual power plants, you know, Australia is pretty well, you know, a couple of years ahead of the closest markets in the world for this type of solution.
Can you tell us about some of the projects that you've been working on?
Yeah, well, we set out to solve, you know, a pretty basic and ugly problem. And that's basically, how do you connect and control all these different solar and battery systems in the market? And you also need to be able to connect with all the different power meters and things that are around. Bringing that data together means then that you can orchestrate and provide visibility on all these different small assets. It's a very fragmented market and there's no standards that allow you to do this easily. So when it comes to, you know, making it simple and cost effective, then it's a really messy problem. And that's at the core of what we do, solve that problem, integrating lots of small systems so that they can orchestrate together to create big change. So initially, we focused on using that capability to support the distribution networks in Australia. So as the penetration of renewables increases, and as people buy things like air conditioners and other things which increase peak demand, the distribution networks have been struggling to keep up with this change. And as a consequence, you know, they've had to invest in reinforcing the distribution network to handle these types of assets. And so initially we focused on how do you coordinate in a collaborative way these assets so that firstly the customers get more value because maybe they're less constrained in what they can do with their systems. They can export more to the grid or they can get, you know, better utilization of their renewable energy, whilst at the same time preserving the safety and efficiency of the distribution network. So some good examples of projects are, you know, remote communities up in far north Queensland. We did this great project at a place called Lockhart River, which is way up on Cape York. And it's a standalone microgrid of about 500 homes, many of which have solar, and it's powered traditionally by diesel, a big diesel generator. And the distribution network up there, the utility, wanted to be able to reduce the amount of diesel they were using. So they wanted to put more solar on and some batteries as well. But in order to make that work, they had to be able to coordinate the solar and the batteries to work with the diesel and to do that efficiently. And so our system enabled them to interconnect these different products, these different systems, and coordinate to make all that work. As a consequence, now they can really increase the level of renewable energy that that microgrid can operate safely with. So similar type of problem in Western Australia. So with Horizon Power, who operate most of the regional networks in Western Australia, it's a unique utility in that it's made up of lots of reasonably large microgrids. And they have a similar problem in that the increasing penetration of solar energy means that there's times during which they have too much solar and not enough load. And the only thing you can do there is to try to shift some of that energy around, either stop producing solar, which, you know, is a bit of a waste, or to shift some loads to try to consume that excess solar when it's available so that you don't have to draw down on those energy resources at a later time. So you can really improve the efficiency. So now in Western Australia, in Horizon Power's network, when a house gets solar, they also get one of our devices, which enables us to manage and help coordinate with the grid those assets. And of course, that's a win-win for everyone, because the only option available to the network operator is to stop people getting solar. Otherwise, they just can't operate safely. And it's just supply and demand physics that rule that. It's got nothing to do with policy or commercial things. It's just how they manage those assets. So by improving coordination or enabling that collaboration, customer can put more solar on and the network can operate safely and more efficiently, and overall the cost of energy drops and the amount of renewable energies we can host increases. So it's really a win-win.
Let's run some definitions, because I'm keen to kind of, I guess, dive into the definition of a microgrid versus a smart grid versus a virtual power plant.
Right. Okay. So a smart grid is a fairly high level general term, I guess, that describes a system which distributes energy but can adjust the way it does that by, you know, switching or adjusting the generation or enabling customers to transfer load to different times of the day. So that type of, I guess, you know, smart interaction to balance supply and demand. And it's a very high level term. One of the ways that you can deliver a smart grid is by adjusting, I guess, the topology of the grid by breaking it down into smaller units. So you imagine a grid which is actually a connection, which is actually made up of a whole series of connected smaller grids. Those smaller grids we would call microgrids. And what that, by compartmentalizing the big grid into those smaller microgrids, then you enable geographic resilience. You enable those microgrids to have some level of autonomy. Now, in Australia, we distinguish between microgrids and embedded networks, and they're two terms which are often confused. Really, an embedded network is the same as a microgrid, but it doesn't have the ability to operate on its own in isolation. Whereas a microgrid, it does have the ability to some extent to operate on its own. So take, for example, you know, a community that has a microgrid, and maybe they have a number of points where they connect to the main grid. Should something happen to the main grid, then a microgrid would be able to disconnect from the main grid and at least operate for some time autonomously, maybe with reduced services, but at least it has some level of autonomy. So yeah, what this means is a much more resilient system. It also means a new approach to how we integrate renewable energy and how we think about renewable energy as a generation source. And that has implications for planning and operation of these systems, as well as the ownership models that underpin investment and ownership.
Mm. And how does virtual power plant fit in there as well?
Right. So microgrids and embedded networks, you know, they're really defined in geographic terms, and for good reason, because, you know, it's all about how these physical structures interconnect. But a virtual power plant, a VPP, is an abstraction of that physical structure. So it doesn't take into account the physical location of the different generation, the different generating assets. So, and look, in the broader context of a large grid, that really means that, you know, you provide essentially a coordination framework for assets in that grid to provide, you know, network-wide or system-wide services. And classically, those services are things like demand response management, you know, whereby we use a VPP to help manage the demand on the whole system, regardless of where the assets are located. So not geographically specific services, but enabling whole of system interaction. And then the other key opportunity for virtual power plants is to enable interaction with the energy market, which is itself an abstraction, I guess, of how we manage the to and fro of energy.
Mm. So interesting. No, thanks so much for sharing that. And I think the audience will really appreciate looking at those different definitions and explaining that a bit further, because I know sometimes we talk so many different terms and things getting thrown out there that we get kind of overwhelmed by the amount of terminology that's, I guess, in each individual space, because the smart community concept, smart city concept, is so huge and encompasses so many things. So thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, I mean, I think from a smart city perspective, these different modalities of energy service provision, yeah, they open up new opportunities. So the distribution, the microgrid is really a new way of thinking about how we manage our grid. The virtual power plant is really a new way of thinking about how we deliver energy services and how, as individuals, taking advantage of the opportunities for rooftop solar and battery storage and electric vehicles, we can enable new ways of participating in the energy market or providing services to support the operation of the grid.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's zoom into the future now. And what are the emerging trends that people aren't talking about enough?
Oh, wow. In Australia, the impending, the big ish is the high penetration of rooftop solar. So in South Australia at the moment, you know, for a couple of months of the year, the roofs of homes power the whole state. So much so that they export energy back to Victoria from the roofs of homes. And, you know, this is really, it's a turning point in history because it's transforming the way we think about how we manage our electricity system. So moving forward, we're really going to be seeing the growth of, you know, virtual power plants, firstly, as a way of being able to manage the interaction of these assets with the grid, but also recognising that these participants enable a new type of energy service which helps us to manage the quality and efficiency of our electricity system. And that's going to create new revenue for the owners of those assets. So together, these things are really going to change the economics around distributed energy and solar energy in particular. And, you know, it's already a good deal. Solar energy on your roof is already the cheapest electricity you can have. And fortunately, the system is moving to enable this new value, which is just going to accelerate the whole transition towards distributed energy services.
What are some of the challenges that come with the distributed energy service?
Well, the challenge is that, you know, the main challenge is that the grid was never designed to host these types of generation assets in the local low voltage network. So the poles and wires in our street were only ever conceived of as being one-way supply paths. When you start pumping electricity back the other way, then it can cause real problems for the technical problems, but also creates new opportunities for new types of business models, so energy service models. So I guess facing, you know, so those together, those challenges are creating a disruption in the how we operate our networks, our distribution networks, and a disruption into how we think about the provision of energy services.
So interesting. It's going to be really, I say interesting so much, I listen to myself and I always say it, but I don't know what other word to use. I'm going to have to look at thesaurus. But yeah, moving into this future will be such a different time. And yeah, I'm excited about the changes that will happen and then moving through those as well. And like you said, the regulation and the policy and all those things that fit into this, because I think sometimes everyday consumers aren't, you know, they don't have to be thinking about those things, but they can really be barriers or enablers for this new type of community.
Absolutely. You know, solar is the big driver of these changes here in Australia, and we're seeing the increasing penetration and opportunities around batteries. And of course, this further accelerates the benefits that can come from rooftop solar in particular. In Europe, we're seeing a rapid growth of EVs, a little bit slower here in Australia, but ultimately, this is really another transforming wave that we're going to be facing, you know, in the near term. And so it just when you get generation in people's homes and storage, and we can use that flexibly, you know, to power our homes or to, you know, support the grid and get new revenue streams from the grid or to power our transportation, it's such an exciting time. It's you know, this is really a transformational era. And, you know, the internet changed the way we think about information and communications, and solar and batteries and EVs are going to change the way we think about energy-enabled services.
Okay, we better wrap up soon. I've got two more questions. First one is, Tell us about some of your favourite smart community resources. So people that you listen to, things that you read, people that you follow, etc. In the energy space is totally fine, whatever you nerd out on.
We've got some great local media. So, you know, One Step Off is pretty good. And Renew Economy, both from the same team, you know, they're great in terms of keeping current. And there's some interesting podcasts coming out of them as well, which is very topical. The Fifth Estate, I think, has been quite good. So, yeah.
No, that's cool. We'll put the links in the show notes so people can click away and find those. And it's been so great to chat with you, Andrew. I really appreciate you sharing some of these definitions, but then also the work that you're doing and, you know, your passion for this space. So thank you so much for coming onto the podcast.
Yeah, look, my pleasure.
One last question. How can people connect with you?
Yeah, well, look, you can check out Switched In, switchedin.com. And you can email me, andrew.mears, M-E-A-R-S, at switchedin.com.
Thank you, Andrew. And, yeah, look forward to talking to you again soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Are you looking for an engaging speaker, MC, or facilitator for your next big event? Then we've got you covered. Zoe is a go-to speaker, MC, and conversation facilitator with a difference. She's a master at simplifying the complex and making connections you might never see. Book Zoe for your next event. Email hello@mysmart.community or head over to her speaker page, www.mysmart.community/speaking.
Thanks so much for listening to the Smart Community Podcast. Show notes for this episode and all other episodes are available on our website, mysmart.community/podcast. If you have any questions for us or any of our guests, you can email hello@mysmart.community. You can also find us on the socials. We are on LinkedIn and Twitter @smartcomhq. That's com with two M's. If you are enjoying the podcast, please hit subscribe so you never miss an episode. And we would love for you to leave us a rating and review at wherever you listen. This really helps us reach more ears and eyes, so thank you for your support. As always, we hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as we enjoyed making it.
The Smart Community Podcast is what you're looking for.